Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the charges against Jesus as we pick up in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
This time shall we turn in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. In the 26th chapter, we left Jesus before the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and Peter had just outside of this group denied his Lord, and at this moment he's out somewhere weeping bitterly over his failure. Now, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, the reason for the pretrial of Jesus was that they might be able to frame some charges against him to bring to the Roman governor. What they accused Jesus of was blasphemy because he said that he was the Son of God. The high priest said, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" And Jesus said, "You said it." And this guy ripped his clothes and he said, "What need we of any further witnesses? You've heard him with his own mouth. That's blasphemy." However, the Roman government had taken away from the Jews the right of capital punishment just a few years earlier. And so the Jews did not have the authority to order a person put to death. And they were desiring that Jesus should be put to death. So they could not bring the charges of blasphemy before Pilate, because Pilate would say, "That's your own religious matter. You guys settled it on your own." So they had to bring charges against Jesus that would hold in the Roman court. And so they made actually charges of insurrection against the Roman government. The charge that Jesus was saying that they shouldn't pay taxes to Rome, and the charge that Jesus declared himself the king and thus was setting himself up against the Roman government because he said that he was king. Now, these three charges are actually false charges that were made against Christ. Scurrilous charges of which they could not offer any real proof. Pilate, being a seasoned judge, was able to see through their charges. And having examined Jesus, of course, he realized that Jesus was innocent of these charges made against him. However, at this point, they were seeking to develop the charges. They bound him and then brought him to the governor Pontius Pilate. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders. Now, there is the theory by some, and it is plausible, that Judas Iscariot, by his betraying of Jesus, was trying to force the hand of Jesus to establish the kingdom. That Judas didn't like Jesus talking about the kingdom being prolonged, and he was getting impatient, even as John the Baptist earlier had gotten impatient and sent his disciples to Jesus and said, "Hey, are you the one that we're looking for, or shall we look for someone else? In other words, let's get the show on the road." And that Judas himself was actually seeking to force Jesus to declare the kingdom, to manifest himself as the king. And thus it was actually a plan gone awry, in a sense. So that when he saw that Jesus was condemned, suddenly he realized that the whole plan had backfired on him, and he repented for what he had done. However, that's reading into Judas motivations of which we have no way of proving. It's just interesting speculation. It should be noted that there are two kinds of repentance. That if you would go to San Quentin, you would find that every prisoner there was repentant. They're sorry. I'm sorry for what they did, but most of them sorry that they got caught. Kinds of repentance that way. Sorry that the plan backfired, perhaps. Or he's sorry for what he did. Now, just what it was, we do not know, but Peter failed the Lord, and he repented, and he went out and wept bitterly. Contrasted with Judas, he repented, and we read he went out and hanged himself. He brought the 30 pieces, sinned. And there is the confession of sin on Judas's part, in that I have betrayed innocent blood. It is interesting to me how that God, all the way through, was bearing witness to the innocence of his son, Jesus Christ. Judas, who betrayed him, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. Pilate, as he examined him, said, I have examined him and I find no fault in him. Later, the thief on the cross said to the other one, look, this man has done nothing amiss. Look how many places God was attesting to the innocence of Jesus Christ, so that we would realize that he was dying not for his own guilt, not for his own sin, but he was dying for our guilt and for our sin. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so, the priest at this point, having finished with Judas, said to him, what is that to us? Your problem. And so he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. Now, according to the account in the book of Acts, he fell and his body burst open. So that the theory is that when he hanged himself, the rope broke and his body actually then fell to the ground. Now the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it's not lawful to put them into the treasury because they are the price of blood. Interesting that they are interested in this little point of the law. When their trial of Jesus was actually illegal. Under their law, it was illegal to try a man the day that he was arrested. And yet they arrested him in the garden and brought him right in and tried him. Also, we read that the day was the preparation for the Passover. And it says the next day, because it was the Sabbath day, they wanted to hasten the death of Christ by breaking the prisoners by breaking their legs because it was a preparation for the Passover and they didn't want the bodies hanging there. But the interesting thing is this. The next day they came to Pilate and said, now we heard that while he was alive, he said he was going to rise after 3 days. And they're coming to Pilate on a business issue on the Sabbath day was completely against their law. And that violation of the Sabbath was one of the chief causes that they had against Jesus. How convenient it is to use the law, but how easy it is to abuse the law when the necessity is there. So they took counsel and they bought with them in the potter's field to bury the strangers in. And wherefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day, Al-Sadama. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom the children of Israel did value, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. Now, at this point, a problem arises because that prophecy really doesn't appear in Jeremiah, but in Zechariah. And just what the answer is to that, I don't know. If Matthew made a mistake, and I know that it is very possible when a person is writing or speaking to make a mistake in references. And if you will go back over my tapes, I'm certain that you'll find that I have made a lot of mistakes in making reference to the Old Testament prophets. In fact, I have a crazy crossover network in my mind that many times when I'm talking about Noah, I'll call him Moses. Or I'm talking about Moses, I'll call him Noah. And there's a crossover network, there's a switch loose up there, and it vibrates and gives a crossover every once in a while. Or it is possible that one of the early copyists who was copying the scripture, as he was copying, made the mistake and put Jeremiah instead of Zechariah. But it is obvious that this prophecy is in Zechariah chapter 11, and so there is that problem that does exist in this particular verse, and I only call it to your attention before someone else does, and you can work with it. And Jesus stood before the governor, that is Pilate, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Now, this was one of the three charges that they had laid against Jesus. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, thou sayest it, or you said it. Affirming, yes, I am. You said it. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Then said Pilate unto him, don't you hear how many things they are witnessing against you? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Surely he had never had a prisoner quite like this before, an accused man quite like this, who did not say anything to defend himself against the obvious false charges that were being made. Boy, I mean, if it were us and those charges were being made, we'd be yelling, liar. And, you know, we would surely be speaking up to defend ourselves. Now, it was the custom of the Roman government to release a prisoner during the feast as a gesture of goodwill from Rome to the people and sort of to just ingratiate the people to the Roman government. And as a general rule, the prisoner that was released was a political prisoner and quite often the people's favorite, one that the people admired for his courage. And his crime really wasn't a felonious type of a crime, except it was against the Roman government as a rule. And usually they were political prisoners that they would release. Now, at this time, they had a very notable prisoner who was guilty of insurrection and also of murder. His name was Barabbas, which is an interesting name. It is son of the father. Abba, you know, his father, and Bar in the Hebrew is son, Bar Yaakov, the son of Jacob, Barabbas, the son of the father. It is thought that his name, and there are some accounts in the Syriac, the Peshitta versions, they say his name was Jesus Barabbas. And that is why Pilate was saying and referring to Jesus as Jesus, which is called the Messiah, to sort of distinguish him from Jesus Barabbas. Jesus is the Hebrew name Joshua. It was a very popular name, And so to identify which Jesus he was speaking to of, they would either say Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus, which is called Christ, which Pilate used. Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ or the Messiah? For Pilate realized that it was only for envy that Jesus had been delivered. The chief priests were envious of him because of the multitude following after him. And actually, they were jealous and also fearful. If the crowds went after Jesus completely, then they would lose their authority and their positions. So, knowing that it was only for envy that they delivered Jesus, he figured for sure that the crowd would call for the release of Jesus. Now, when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." There are certain apocryphal writings which say that his wife's name was Claudia Procula, that actually they had a little son, Pilatus, who was healed by Jesus, and that Claudia was actually a Christian. And there's quite a story. Whether or not it is true is something that we, of course, do not know, but it is quite an interesting story, to say the least, and does put a little extra drama into this whole story. His wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" I mean, she calls him that just man. Again, God testifying of the innocency of Jesus. "For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor said unto them, "Whether of the two will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called the Messiah?" Very interesting question. A question that is not limited to Pilate, but a question that every one of you must face. For every one of you have to make the same kind of a decision that Pilate made. You must decide what you are going to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah. You can't escape it. Jesus will not allow you any neutrality. He said, "He that is not for me is against me." Therefore, you must decide what you are going to do with Jesus. Either believe or not believe. Either accept or reject. Either confess or deny. The interesting thing about Pilate's decision is that in the final analysis, it had nothing to do with the destiny of Jesus. For what Jesus was to do, he had to do because the scriptures declared and prophesied the crucifixion. That was inevitable. It was inescapable. No matter what Pilate did, the crucifixion was inescapable. He was crucified from the foundations of the earth. According to God's predetermined counsel and foreknowledge, the crucifixion took place. Therefore, Pilate's decision really didn't determine the destiny of Jesus. What it determined was his own destiny. Even as though you sit as judge concerning Jesus and you judge in your own heart whether he was the Son of God or not, whether he was a liar a fraud or the way, the truth, and the life. And you yourself make your judgment concerning Jesus, but the judgment you make doesn't determine his destiny. What Jesus is, he is. Makes no difference what you believe about it. But what you determine concerning Jesus and your judgment concerning him does determine your own destiny. So though you sit as judge, ultimately you have judged yourself by choosing to accept or to reject.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 27 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he strengthen you through this week. As you have to go out and mix in that world, I pray that God will give you divine insulation by his Holy Spirit that will just sort of ward off all of the evil influences that are pointed in your direction, that surround you daily when you're on the job or in your classroom or just dealing with this corrupt system. I pray that God will just help you to keep your mind and heart fixed upon him, and that you'll look above the corruption of this world, and that you'll be strengthened as we look to him, our only hope, but who is our strength and our defense.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today has published a New Testament designed for an unbeliever or a new believer, just as much as it is for a Bible teacher. Highlights include Pastor Chuck's commentaries that get right to the point on scripture passages, Words of Christ in Red for easy reading, an A through Z topical scripture index covering over 250 topics relevant to life application, and a section that answers frequently asked questions such as, is there evidence of Christ's resurrection? And what's God's will for my life? So if you're looking for a Bible to give to a friend, or if you're a ministry that's been searching for a simple New Testament that does most of the teaching for you, then you'll enjoy the Word for Today New Testament with Pastor Chuck's commentary notes. To order, please call the Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org.